Let's pray. Lord God, send your Spirit and illuminate the Scripture so that we may hear with clarity what you want to say to us today. Strip away from our minds anything that would distract us from hearing what you want us to hear. And Lord, if I say something that you would prefer them not to hear, may they forget those things. Lord, we ask this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 15th through the 17th verses. Hear now the word of God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Before I became a pastor 25 years ago, if you go back far enough, I hated stewardship campaigns. They aren't much fun when you're a preacher. But they used to provide pressure to me that I did not like. And the reason I didn't like them was because I wasn't given a lot of money. And I felt like they were guilt tripping me. They were trying to guilt trip me into giving money. They're a lot easier now that we give. They really are. I love our church because stewardship campaigns used to last 4 weeks. And 3 years ago, we learned that we can do them in 3 weeks because y'all are so smart, so spiritual, so in touch with God that you get it after 3 weeks. And on the third week, y'all knew how to fill out that estimate of giving card, and it made it a whole week shorter. So last week was the first week of our campaign. Today, it's our next to last week of our campaign. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds better. It really does. And so you're probably asking, what should I be doing? Well, you need to be praying. Most people in here came down front here or somewhere around here, and you promised to pray for Kingswood. You would support the church with your prayers. And so I know you've been doing that religiously and denominationally and personally for ever how long you've been a member. And there are people in here who are not members, and I hope you're praying for us too. So what are you supposed to pray for? Pray for the whole church. The ministry and mission of the church. That the things we do and the way that we do them will be about fulfilling our vision. The vision we believe that God gave us. That Kingswood, we will strive to be a loving community where all are welcome, the lost are found, disciples are made for the transformation of the world. And we do that. So you can pray that that takes place. The next thing you can pray for is each other. For each other and how we do what we do. And pray for people to hear what God would have them to do as it relates to stewardship. And pray for yourself as it relates to stewardship. What do I need to do, God, to have a closer relationship with you? How am I to be more faithful to you so that I can enjoy the faithfulness of you in my life, God? Now, there are some people in here who are not members, and one of the things I would like for you to pray for, would God want you to join us and be members? That's a good thing. We would like you to be a member. You're part of our family. If you show up once, you're cousins. You're in the family. We love you. We want you to come back. And then there are those that We want you to pray about that. Then there are people that maybe have never given, ever thought about giving to a church. And so it might be that would be something you pray about, that you would give, that the Lord would move you to give something, that you might see God at work in your own life, that God might see Him at work in your life. There might be some people who might have given once or twice and haven't given any more. I want to pray that you begin to give systematically and methodically. There is something about giving on a regular basis. If you get paid every 2 weeks, maybe to start with, give some money every 2 weeks. If you get paid once a month, give once a month. It does something to you when you look at that credit card bill and you say, Kingswood United Methodist Church. Yeah. Or when you give and you see that bank statement and you see Kingswood United Methodist Church. It means something. Some of us might be giving 1% or 2%. We give whatever, methodically. You might want to pray, Lord, should I give more? Give more. Lord, do I need to give more so that I might show my dedication to you, my love for you? And so then you move on up the percentage chart, and then you might be giving like I was many years ago, tithing on the net, and you feel pretty good about yourself. You might want to see how good it feels to tithe on the gross. I've never met a person who tithes who has ever stopped tithing. Never have. I never have. Just like Michael and Leah said, they gave more and they haven't missed it. It helps prioritize your life. And so that's what I would ask you to pray for over the next week. And then next Sunday, we will have an opportunity. If you picked up one of the flyers, you can... I really sound bad, didn't I, Alan? Alan's asleep. I sounded like I came right off the farm. One of those little brochure things out in the lobby. It talks about how you can give. And one of the ways is you can fill out an estimate of giving card, and we got some in the back, and you can take it home, pray over it, and you can fill that out. And next Sunday, at the end of the service, we'll have a place, time where you can come and pray, and you can drop that estimate of giving card in the basket. And then it says that if you don't have time for that, you can email Charlene Smith at csmith@kingswood.church and say, Charlene, I want to give this amount of money per month, per year, per whatever you want to do, and she will get it. You can do that, but I still want you to come pray. And then you can use Realm. It's real easy. My wife and I are going to do it together this coming week. Right, honey? If I have time. And what we'll do is you open up that app and you hit giving and then you hit pledge and then it opens up and you say what you're going to give and we'll make sure and we hit enter and it records it. It's already in for you. And then we will celebrate that. So that's the next thing. Okay. Stewardship. Faithful. Thankful. Joyful. Did y'all notice that faithful who was down here moved up there? I don't know how it did it. It was a miracle, but they swapped places. You need to come next week to see if joyful finds its way down here. But that's who we are, thankful. Be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thankful. The third chapter of Colossians has to do with sanctification. Growing in God's grace in our lives. We as Methodists understand the grace of God, that unmerited favor of God that He pours out upon us. We understand it. There's one grace, God's grace, but we experience it in three forms. The first form is prevenient grace that goes before the acceptance when we accept Christ. It's easier to understand prevenient grace after you have a relationship with the Lord and you look back and see how God has been at work in your life. God puts people in our lives to draw us to Him, to share the gospel with us, people and places and experiences in our lives. They like to use the analogy of prevenient grace. It's like the walkway, the steps, and the porch of your life. You're not in the house, but you're being drawn, wooed, courted by God, drawing you to Him. And so the first, then you, when you open the door and accept that relationship God offers us, when we profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you walk in to the house, and that opening, that door, is justification, a justifying grace. And when you walk in and we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit goes to work in us to make us more Christ-like, and that is called sanctification. So prevenient grace is what God is doing to draw us. Justification is when we accept what Christ did for us on the cross. And sanctification is when we join with the Holy Spirit in becoming more and more like Christ. So that's what we're talking about. And I want to submit to you that when we move from prevenient grace and the wooing of God onto our life, and we open that door of salvation, and we begin that process of sanctification, a thing happens to us, I want to say, is thankfulness. Because the more we are sanctified and we become more and more like Christ, what we typically find out is that there is something we are so much, we're nothing like Jesus wants us to be. We find out that we are farther from being like God now because we see how pure and holy God is. And it touches us and we become more grateful. Back in 2011, June and I went with some people who had just been ordained to the Holy Land, and we went in Jerusalem. We went to Caiaphas's house. We went there the last time we went as well. Caiaphas was the chief priest. He and his father-in-law Ananias. They were, when Jesus was arrested, he was taken to this house. This is the place where Peter heard the rooster crow. And at this house, even today, there is a stone column with a rooster on top. But at this house, there is out back, they have a lower place, and it's a jail. They show these where they had excavated it, and you see these jail cells. And then they have this, I want to call, for lack of a better word, a dungeon-looking thing. And what they do is they would start digging a hole about, maybe let's just say, 2.5 feet in diameter. And they start digging down. And they keep digging, and they keep digging, and they keep digging. And they get to the bottom, and it's like 15 feet deep. Smooth walls, and it's about a 15 feet diameter down there. There's no way to get in there, other than they can throw you in there. But to get out, what they would do is they would let you down wearing this harness, and then they would pull you back out. Tradition has it, on the night that Jesus was arrested and they were waiting to take him to Pilate, tradition has it, they lowered him into that cell. And when we were there with the ordinance, they cut the lights off. And we thought about what Jesus was enduring for us. And in the silence of that moment, someone began to sing, "What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, oh my soul? It was haunting. And we were just quiet for what Jesus paid, the price he paid for us, and then the depth of gratitude and thankfulness came over us. When the sanctification of God takes place, we become grateful, more and more grateful for who God has been and who God is in our life and who God will be. Thankfulness. Let me tell you a story. My birthday is February the 9th. If you think about sending me a card or a present, February the 9th. But on February the 9th, 2010, I had one task to do and one task only. I had finished all of the requirements for ordination, and I had to get this stuff. It's not, my mother would be upset calling it stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. I spent a lot of work on it, hundred plus pages of typed documents, sermons, videos, credit checks, psychologicals, you name it, it's in there. And I had to take it up to Simpsonwood to the conference center. I did not trust the United States Postal Service. I did not trust UPS. I didn't trust FedEx. I didn't trust anybody. I was going to take it. I had read it. I'd had other people read it. I had double checked that I had everything in there. I got people to check to make sure I had everything in there. I had a thumb drive in my pocket. I had a thumb drive in my computer case. I had that, all that in the car, plus a printer in case I got up there and I didn't have it all. I was serious. So I start driving here. And all of a sudden, it came over me that 16 years before, I had sat on the couch of Reverend Pat Shannon's study, and he was the first person I shared with him that I sensed the calling to ministry. And I was grateful. So I called him on the phone. He was in Smyrna. And I called him and I said, "Pat, guess what I'm doing?" And his response was, "Knowing you, I have no clue." And I said, "I'm taking my stuff to the conference center for ordination." And I wanted to tell you how thankful I am for you, for what you did for me. So we talked a little bit more, and we hung up. And so I took it. I had everything, just drove back to Thompson. On April the 11th, I was due to be at Simpsonwood, and I drove to Simpsonwood, spent the night, and on that Monday morning, went through the process of interviews. And at the end of that, at 8:30 that night, my presenter came to me and said, "You passed, you're going to be ordained." Unbelievable joy. About 5 minutes later, I learned that one of my covenant group was being deferred. Did not pass everything, and they were going to have to spend another year doing that. And then I heard that my best friend through that whole process had been deferred, and my heart broke. And then I learned that there was a lady who was pastor of two churches over in Augusta area who was not being deferred and she was not being ordained. She was being denied. And on that day, she learned that she was not going to be a United Methodist pastor because of deficiencies. And my heart broke. And then I start riding home. And about when all the phone calls stopped coming in, I started thinking again of Pat, what he did. Started thinking about what June had done what she had sacrificed for me to go to seminary and all the stuff we've been through and what she's still sacrificing for. And I started thinking about all the people in my life who had poured love and Jesus into my life, and all I could think of was absolute gratitude. The depth of love, cumulative love for all these people who had poured into me. That in the midst of my life, from going from being a child and an infant, there had been people who had been with me the whole time, people of God, to help me be the person that there were, that other people would think were I would be qualified to be an elder in Full Connection. And so we kept on, when we got ready to start thinking about ordination, you got to have a red stole to be ordained, and you have the hand of the bishop put on you, and the first thing that happens when you ordained after you stand up is they put a red stole on you. And I knew that we had to figure out something. And so my wife, being the brilliant person she is, we figured out how to put names of the people who poured their life into me, the people of God. And so I have my family, my mom, and, well, I got my wife first, and then my dad and mother and my brother and grandmother and grandfather and all those people and aunts and uncles and grandchildren and in-laws, you name it, this bunch of people. And then I got three churches, the church that I grew up in, the church I'd been serving for 12 years, and the church I was going to. I didn't know them, but I was praying that they would love me too and pour love into me. Then I got a list of a bunch of pastors here, the bishops, district superintendents, ministerial services staff, covenant leader groups, my group of covenant group, my readers, educators, colleagues. And then I got Sunday school classes that I had taught and how they had loved me, confirmation classes that I had taught, and then friends and supporters and mentors. And so when I God ordained, they were with me, and they're with me, and I am grateful for them because they have poured their life into me, just as you have poured your life into me, and I'm thankful. Who are you thankful for? Who are you thankful for? For those people who have look to you, and you helped them, you've loved them, you shared Christ with them, you picked them up when they were hurting, you held them, you gave them a attaboy, you gave them encouragement along the way, and they got to experience Jesus in you. That's what being a part of the body of Christ is all about. That we are allowed to love one another and we can be thankful for the way God works in our lives and the people that he sends in our lives. And it makes a difference in our life. You see, that's the beauty of stewardship. Before I was born, somebody was faithful and I reaped the benefits for it. When I was born and I wasn't faithful and wasn't capable of being faithful, somebody else was faithful and I enjoyed the benefits of it. When I was should have been faithful and wasn't faithful, somebody else was faithful for me and did for me what I didn't know I needed. And now I can be faithful too. And you can be faithful. You have been faithful. That's the beauty of faith. It's planting an acorn, knowing you'll never sit under the shade of the tree. But there'll be somebody who God loves that will. Stewardship. There's a sentence that, non-scripture sentence, that is one of my favorite sentences. I've told you this before. It's by W.H. Auden. And the sentence is, if mutual affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. If mutual affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. And then there's a group of words that Melody Beattie wrote. And I think it speaks volumes to what our life of faith and our life in Christ. She writes, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past and brings peace for today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow." Our stewardship, our thankfulness, our gratitude creates a vision for tomorrow for the next generation and those in this generation who do not know Jesus. I'm thankful for you and your faithfulness through the generations. There are generations that need to know about Jesus. And they don't know it, but they're counting on you. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for you and your love for us. We are thankful for your saints that through the years, in the midst of their own sanctification, they loved us when we didn't know we needed it. We thank you for those in our lives and in those who will come and follow us in this place and in life. We thank you for them. And we thank you that we can give for them so that they too might come to know you. Yes, Lord, may we be thankful for all the ways you have loved us and for all the people you've sent in our lives to love us too. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.